Good evening. About 2.5 months ago, Mike came up to me and asked me to give another review, update of the overseas work that we're helping support, and he gave me some guidelines and some ideas on how to approach the talk. I went off in a different direction than we talked about originally, and did not have enough time to come back and prepare some of the things that we had talked about. And so I'm hoping in the future to include some more pictures, have a PowerPoint ready, give you a visual of what's going on out there and who these people are and what they're doing, show you the church building you help finance and building. And you can actually see, I've got the small picture of it, you can actually see the cement floor they have, which is unusual in that area. They actually have block building, roof up, cement floor. They have chairs inside, and they're worshiping there, you know, at this time. That was that effort that you helped participate in a while back. Still need windows, still need doors, and they share that information with us. But it's been a year now that I've been working with the congregations over there and corresponding with them on a regular basis, and it surprised me how much I've learned and how much I've grown to appreciate things in a different light. I found some things out that I never knew, things that are going on in people's lives clear around the world. Different in a lot of ways, but in many ways, I found that they're just the same. They live with the same struggles and the opportunities that we do in our life here, just in a different location. We have friends that are there. They're just in another room tonight. I wrote them twice and let them know what we were about to do on March 24th. So they knew this morning when they met for worship that this was going to happen. And I have no doubt that they brought that topic up, that the fact was we were going to get tonight and pray and discuss their work in the Philippines. They were going to connect with them in that way as Christians. And they responded back with that, saying, well, with us, that's like having a prayer meeting. And we do that in our homes, too. We pray for you. And when I wrote back and responded the second time, I says, we will make sure we pray for you tonight. I'm amiss because I didn't pick two or three men out. So I'm going to ask them to be brave. By the way, you know, it says 365 times in the Bible not to be afraid. And it says, be brave and stand up and act like men. So here's your time to act like men. And I'm going to ask Cliff at the appropriate time when I call him if he would lead us in a prayer pertaining to the things that he hears me discuss during that 10 minutes or so. And we'll pause and we'll pray. And then after that, I'll talk some more and we'll have some thoughts. Then I'm going to ask Brother Dick if he will also, because he's my good buddy, and I know he won't say no. And he'll go ahead and do the same thing, and we'll pray. I'm asking you to do this, men, because I promised them we would do this tonight, and I would be amiss because they're one in our prayers. They've said this over and over again, and I'll bring that out tonight as we talk about these things. So, Cliff, would you be willing to do that with us? We'll find out after 25, 30 minutes, correct? And then Dick, would you do that? And I'll call on you. And I'll make a break in my talk, and I'll have you lead us in a prayer at that time about those things that I've just discussed, and we'll send that off to God on these people's behalf. Are we all comfortable with that? Good. Dear Brother John Hafer from Rodolfo Azuzan, we are so sorry and saddened as well for the family of our later brother in Christ, Al Craig, for passing away. Please regard us to his family that we sympathize with them for losing an important member in their family, but I know for sure he is in good hands now and happy meeting our King Creator. In Revelation 14:13 says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. He must be grateful that he is in the kingdom of our God, our Lord, and no more sufferings. May he rest in peace. Really, God is good. Rodolfo. From Ramos Gilbert, dear elders and faithful at Market Street, while we type these epistles, we cannot stop our tears due to sudden past of our brother Al. But in the other side, we're so much comforted to his revealed word. 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who love his appearance. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those who love God, to do those who are called according to his promise. We send our deep sympathy to all you, brethren, all you, you who brother Al love most of all. 2 Samuel 12:23, but now he has died, and why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. In Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Sincerely, yours in him, Gilbert and family. From Jafan Orlando Zurun, dear elders and brethren, greetings in Christ's name. I trust and pray that you are all okay. We are sincere and deeply saddened to know the news of passing of Brother Al Craig. We express our condolences and deep sympathy to his bereaved family and to you, brethren. We hope you can take comfort in the fact that the Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come unto judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 5:24. And the passing that John wrote, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Revelation 14:13. In time of great sorrow, please know that you are all in our thoughts and prayers. May God's guidance and blessings be with you always. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord fill up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers 6:24-26. In Christian love, Jafan Orlan Azurin and family. As I read these letters of condolence sent to us by these three brothers in Christ, I cannot help but relate to the connection that Paul felt for the churches of Macedonia, and the very similar connection that we share with those that work in Christ in the Philippines. The Macedonian churches are honorably distinguished above all others by their fidelity to the gospel and affectionate regard for Paul himself. While the church at Corinth disgraced herself by gross moral delinquencies, and while the Galatians bartered the liberty of the gospel for a narrow formalism, and while the believers of Ephesus drifted into the wildest speculative errors, no such stain attaches to the brethren of Philippi and Thessalonica. It is to the Macedonian congregations that the apostle ever turns for solace in the midst of his severest trials and sufferings. Time seems not to have chilled these feelings of mutual affection. I believe that what Paul and the Macedonian churches enjoyed is what the scriptures call fellowship, the type that can only be found by those who share in a life-precious faith. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, describing in much detail the working attributes seen in such active fellowship. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ overflows to us, so also through Christ our conduct overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which accomplishes in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we experience. And our hope for you is sure, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you will share in our comfort. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the hardship we encounter in the province of Asia. We were under a burden far beyond our ability to bear or to endure, so that we despaired even to life. Indeed, we felt we were under the sentence of death in order that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. In him we have placed our hope that he will yet again deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the favor shown us in answer to the prayers. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 2 through 11. I ask you tonight, can you feel the connection that Paul is describing that comes from the grace and peace that is given to us by God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that we here at Market Street share in that type of fellowship with the preachers that we support overseas. I have come to see this in the correspondence that have been shared during this past year. I have felt the compassion, the comfort, the sharing of suffering in the letters that they have sent. I can even feel the hope and the deliverance and the trust that we have in Jesus Christ. And I've come to understand the hardship and the sufferings that these disciples bear, and have seen very clearly the joy that they feel for having been given the opportunity to carry such burdens in the name of the Lord. I would certainly be amiss if I did not say that I understand now that they have the same connection with us. And I wanted to get that across to you tonight. We have begun to realize that connection with them. I think before we began to be in touch with them, they were in touch with us. And to be honest, if you define it correctly, I may be seeing in them what we would describe as a love for us, a type of love that can only be found in Jesus Christ. That love that disciples have for one another. And that's a joyous thing in my heart. In the correspondence sent to us this past year, I have heard this attitude of fellowship demonstrated by them, no matter what the topic or what the discussion. In response to Typhoon Omphong, O-M-P-O-N-G, remember that one, where we send relief money to them? When it hit the island on Thursday, October the 11th, this past 2018, five preachers were sent money by us for relief. Gilbert Ramos, Jafon Azuran, Rodolf Azulson, Joselito Hines, and Fernando Mandgerbung. Following are letters of thanks sent by these five men to you, and they address you as brothers and sisters in Christ. I am so overwhelmed of all the blessings you've given us. I am so endlessly thankful and blessed for you all having such a pure heart. Please accept my gratitude to all brothers who humbly heard my prayers and request. You are God's greatest gift to all of us here who are in need. I will be sure that every member in my congregation will receive their part and be thankful to all of you. Rodolfo. Greeting to you in the name of Christ our Savior. Though I cannot see you with my eyes, you are all in my hearts and my prayers. Thank you so much for your fellowship, continued support, help to the needy brethren here, and the encouragement to the work of the Lord here in Rikudo Church of Christ. We always pray for you, and may God bless all our efforts as we work together in his vineyard. Joselito. It's our joy to inform you that we received with gladness the support and financial assistance that you have sent for our need. From the bottom of my heart, we express our heartfelt thanks first to God and to you, our brethren, for your continued love, your kindness, your generosity, and support to the Lord's work here in our area. Your continuous support and fellowship with us is the demonstration of your genuine love for the Lord's cause. God will never forget your faith and labor of love and will repay you all with the gift of blessing of everlasting life in heaven. Jafon, Orland, Azuon. Greetings to you all. Thanks be to God, today we receive the funds for your benevolence. Once again, thank you very much to all of you for your compassion and your generosity. Ramos. Thank you so much for your love and continuing help to the work here. Thank you for the enclosed envelope, the card signing we were doing at the time. Thanks to the brethren who give word of encouragement. Your concern, our warming in times of storms. Fernando Manigabrown. The congregation here continually received reports from all the preachers in the Philippines on a monthly basis, as well as some very detailed reports sent to us as a year-end report. Jafon Orland sent us such a report in 2018. His report is a good example of the report sent to us by the other preachers. And in it, he takes the time to write down his monthly activities to give you a better idea of what the work these men has entertained to do on an ongoing basis. And I would like to take the time after prayer to review the report that he sent to us and for your consideration for the month of December. But before we do that, shall we take the time and do what I promised we would do as a congregation, and we'll offer our prayer up unto God on behalf of them as they work in the Philippines. And Cliff, would you lead us in that prayer, please?
Pray with me. Our Holy Father in heaven, we come to thee, approaching your throne of grace, of mercy and kindness, thanking you for so many blessings that we have, that we enjoy in this country, and so many things that we just take for granted because of where we live, and because of maybe because of who we are. We know, dear Father, that we have been so richly blessed, and many times we have opportunity to be able to take those blessings that you have given us and be able to share them with others. We are thankful, dear Father, we have a relationship with these men and women, congregations who are in the Philippines as well as in India, those people who we have a special relationship with in Christ, that we can call them brothers and sisters, and we can know that when they are in joy when they have joy, that we have joy with them, and when they have sadness, we also have sadness along with them. We're thankful, dear Father, that we were able to help them in the time of need. We're thankful, dear Father, that we are always able to be close to those who depend on us. And we hope that we can continue with those blessings and that we can continue with that relationship through Christ. We go through many things in this country that sometimes we consider to be hardships. But they have more hardships than we can ever imagine at times, especially when crisis hits like the typhoon that came through. We don't really know what that's like. But everything is destroyed, usually, and then they need to rebuild. And because of their perseverance and because of their faithfulness, they just step in and they just do what they have to do. And they continue on. But we're thankful we were able to help them and keep them safe, warm, dry, and give them a place where they can worship. We are thankful, dear Father, to share our hearts with them, especially when we lose someone we love, and they share with us in that. We pray, dear Father, that you will be with them, that you will build them up, and that you will strengthen them as they press on to speak the truth and to bring others to Christ. One special prayer I have for a person that I have been in contact with, which is Brother Sarath, and I pray for him. He also goes through a lot of difficulties in the Philippines, where he spreads the gospel to many congregations and travels, and sometimes he is in need. And I pray, dear Father, that you will help him to get the needs that the things that he needs, that he'll be able to feed his family, clothe his family, as well as contribute to his congregation. These people are important to you. They're important to us. And we're thankful, dear Father, that we have that relationship with them. May those things continue in your name. Amen.
Amen. Assures us that he received all the support checks that we sent him this past year. Now, I might add here that giving this information to us is an important item to these men and not just a formality. Jafon, as well as the others, sincerely appreciate our monthly donation and support. And he constantly thanks us for the money that has been sent to him and to his family. Occasionally, due to factors not under our control, the checks that we send to them get sidetracked and does not arrive. Every time this happens, we receive notification immediately by one or several of the men that this happens to, with a request that we follow up on their behalf, asking that we send them another check as soon as possible. You see, without these monthly checks arriving on time, these preachers are hard-pressed to supplement these missing funds, without which they are often unable to feed their families or purchase drug prescriptions that are needed to be picked up every month. This is what they've been telling us. Now, I personally have it worked out in my own budget that there are funds laid aside in savings, in my savings account, that will cover Lorraine and mine food budget for the next 6 months, meaning that the Lord has blessed us very, very well. And I don't intend to go hungry anytime soon. I have come to appreciate the fact that the families that we are supporting are unable to set aside funds in order to cover future expenses. They would if they could, but are unable to because of reasons beyond their control. They basically are required to live month to month, unable to go beyond that. This is the reason that we are supporting them in the first place. I wrote and asked them this past month to tell us what problems that they are dealing with in order that we may pray for them in a more direct way, in a more personable way. And the thing that was most constantly referred to is the fact that we just don't have enough funds to maintain our lives on a good level. Ramos Gilbert wrote back saying one of the most serious struggles for us is poverty due to the poor leadership of our government. As you have known, most Filipino are industrious, especially Christians. But the problem is because of our government's economic decisions or the lack thereof. Because of that, few of us here are employed and are working. They just don't have a weekly job that they can go to. They just can't get up in the morning and go to work 5 days a week because those jobs just aren't there. The structure's not in place. So please kindly include these things in your prayers for us. I think that it is good for us to take this into consideration as we continue our overseas support. And we take the time to pray for them, to pray that their government wakes up and realizes that the system they have in place is not supporting the people that live there, that there is a different way they can approach things. They may not have to copy the United States or other governments that are working at a better level and providing economic status, a platform for people to go to work so they can have a better economic platform, but they can do something, and we can pray to God that they might have wise decisions in that regard. And that's what Ramos would ask that we pray for. Jafon goes on and details for us the work that takes place in both Vigan City as well as Manlega Bay Bante. He tells us that he continues a joint effort with his dad in both congregations and maintains to uphold unity of one mind and one spirit and one purpose and one accord and stand firmly defending the truth. Those are his words. He and his dad work together with both congregations every Sunday services. Goes to one congregation, holds services, then they move to the other congregation and hold services. So they do joint services in one day, and they work together in doing that. Plus the midweek Bible classes. They continue the effort in the Lord work by encouraging, by edifying the brethren not to be slothful in zeal, to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. They visit the sick and pray for them. They patiently restore the fallen and make contact with possible prospects and extend the gospel to them. So by continuing to have personal studies and preaching the word of God so as to apply it to a daily living has continued in the progress of the work being seen. Jafon was also happy to report that on November 28th he was able to work with Fernando and being invited to work with him in Sanat. Jafon referred to a multitude of people that they were able to extend the invitation of the gospel to. And afterwards, they came back home to Virgin City for his midweek Bible class. He just casually puts that into play as he wrote his monthly report. Then on the 30th, it says he traveled to Cagayan and was invited to preach at Calinga. It took 8 hours just to arrive at Calinga, and once there, Jafon was the first speaker to talk to a gathering of fellow preachers that work in the area. And so Jafon took the time to and took the opportunity and talked to them about the characteristics of a good preacher. Good topic, as is found in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. Spending the night recuperating, they then had to travel home the next day to prepare for the next day, because it was the Lord's Day. On December 13th, it says that after the midweek service, Jafon paid a visit to the wake of a late brother, Elpidio Yoro, a fellow preacher at the Sanat area. He and his traveling companions conducted a funeral Bible service, and Jafon's dad was given the opportunity to give a message of comfort to the bereaved family, while Jafon was given the opportunity to lead the prayer. Then on the 20th, they were invited to Sister Katrina Aguila and Brother Julius Badad, both members of Virgin City, Vigan City, to hold a Bible study. Both Katrina and Julius are managing a review center for the English language testing and advanced tutorials for children. That's a mouthful. And they do this on a daily basis with these people. So as it turned out, Jafon was able to speak at a Bible study that was attended by staff members, by students, and by some visitors. And it was again a big opportunity to preach God's word, he said, to a great multitude of lost souls. And afterwards, then they proceeded to the regular afternoon midweek Bible study in Manglega. 2 days later, they attended the interment funeral of Brother Epolito Yorl, before they took his remains to its resting place. And again, a Bible study was conducted, and Jafon was given the opportunity to lead in spiritual songs at that interment ceremony. He goes on to say, on December 25th, Jafon and his companions traveled to Solicito Ilocos Sur, a two-hour trip located in a remote area. The word of God was preached, and as a result of this gathering, one precious soul answered the gospel invitation. He came forward while they sang the invitation song and made the good confession of his faith. He is Wanato Tindock. Wanato Tindock. He's 20 years old. After our meeting, he was baptized in a near river in the area, and this newly babe placed his membership at Piaz Church of Christ in Salcedo. Get close, sir. Jafon has asked us to please include Juanito in your prayers so that your brother Juanito will grow and mature in the faith. Jafon closes his report for December by saying, "We have to bid farewell again, brethren. Please continue your fellowship to the Lord's work here in our area and to me in this endeavor for this coming 2019. We need your love, your encouragement, and financial assistance by all means. We are counting on your prayers for us as we continue to ask the good Lord to bless you more this coming year for the work you are doing towards his name. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." 1 Peter 4:7. And Jafon ends by saying, "May the blessings and guidance of the Lord be with you always." Season greetings and an advance Happy New Year. I'm touched by these words. I was surprised, how emotional I felt after Cliff was leading us in prayer from just the things that I reviewed again in the first part of the lesson. But then when I get down to this and I read these closing comments and the encouragement that Jafon gives to us as we are in need, as though we were in stress and distress, because we are, just like any congregation of the Lord in the world that sits in the world today is under distress. The world is all around us, and we need prayers like this one for another. Do you feel that? Do you see that? I believe that's the same prayer that Paul was giving those in Corinth. He wanted them to wake up and feel this unity, this fellowship that's being expressed here, without which we may not make it. We may fall away. And I think that's the last thing that's on Jafon's mind. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to walk. He wants us to be of good courage and not to be afraid. Every day, Lord, I will not be afraid. I will stand and be courageous and stand in your word, just as these men are doing here. He passes that on to you. He passes that on to me. In Christian love, Jafon, Orlan, Azron, and family. Brother Dick, would you lead us in prayer at this time?
Our God and our Father, we count it joy and a blessing that we can hear these words of encouragement from our Philippine brothers as they continue with their sufferings and in the life that they endure. We thank you, Father, that we have the freedom here to worship you unmolested and without the fear of government intervention. And Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give to us and that we're the abundance that we have and that we, through that abundance, can share with our brothers in the Philippines. We thank you, Father, for the love that we have for one another, and we pray, Father, that you will continue to maintain the funds that are needed by these brethren. And we pray, Father, that they will be able to find the jobs that are so needed for their own well-being. We pray, Father, that the government priorities that the brothers are confounded by will be removed, and that they can continue with a life of abundance. We're so thankful, Father, for the work of the evangelists in the Philippines, and we're so thankful for the souls that are being saved. And right now we would like to pray for Juanito as he continues to grow after his baptism, and that he will be strengthened and will come to know you better. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless us, that we might be able to continue to give to them, that they will continue to grow and to prosper. And we ask, Father, that you continue to bless us in Jesus and bless our spiritual growth here and in the Philippines also. We ask, Father, in the name of the Lord, that you watch over us as we suffer and as they suffer along with us. And we thank you for the encouragement that they are to us. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to bless them and the work that is being done in that location. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
So in conclusion, births, weddings, planting of crops, construction of church buildings, gospel meetings. I hope that you can say with me that what has been given here is not just a simple year-end business report that was sent to us by a conscientious person, because we support him. The connection that we have with these men, I think, is much, much more. What Jafon has written down, taking the time to share with us his labors, his struggles, his successes in the vineyard of the Lord, has also been shared by the other men we support overseas, especially this group of people that are in the Philippines. They demonstrate a love, a compassion, and a commitment there that is expressed by these men, and it's genuine. The willingness to share with us their lives, their concerns, their families. I think that we can truly be thank the Lord that we have been given such men as these in which we're able to assist. They desire our prayers, first and foremost. More than once, having told us of a financial need that has come up, they have closed by clearly stating that if we cannot give any more than it has already been given, then trust in the Lord and simply pray for us. They are truthfully, truly grateful for the investment that we have made in them on a monthly basis. And when we are able to come together and supply them with extra comfort, they at times are overwhelmed by our generosity. I truly believe that tears have rolled down their cheeks upon receiving the bountiful gifts sent by us to them. I've seen it in the pictures they have sent. I've seen it in the words they have written down. Yet I have seen the same tears fall after they have received a card of loving endearment and gratitude for the work that they do. So I hope that we can continue that also together. I hope, having said these things tonight, that your minds might be opened up just a little more as to the personal nature of what we do as a collective group in supporting these men. Like I said earlier, the next time I get to speak, I hope to have prepared myself well enough so as to have some pictures or a PowerPoint showing us where these men live. Also pictures that will introduce you to some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they sent a lot of pictures of them. I'm going to be asking these men the names of these individuals that are on those pictures. A lot of them are just new converts that they're working with. Sometimes it's 4 or 5. Sometimes it's 30 in the picture. Sometimes the results varies just greatly at the response to the gospel these people are seeing. And I haven't even took the time to prepare to talk about those things. And hopefully we'll share that next time. Till then, I encourage you all that you just pray. Take some time to pray. Pray for them and their needs. Pray in thanksgiving that they are there, that they are doing this service in the Lord. And then pray to God with thankfulness that they have come our way and said these things to us on our behalf, that we are receiving their prayers also. Pray earnestly. Pray honestly. And see what will come of it. Activate the Holy Spirit in this, as these men have. These men have asked the Holy Spirit to be activated in our lives with power and zeal and zest just by the scriptures that they sent us. And so we can do the same for them, asking the Spirit to be dwelling in them in all vibrance and diligence and effort and continuance, so that they may continue to grow and develop in the Lord. Keep them in your minds and your thoughts. Jafon asked me to relay to you one last thought, and that of his son Zion Jay. Remember, I announced a year ago that he was born. They had the newborn son, and they gave him the name Zion Jay. And I keep asking how he's doing. He's been growing like a weed. He's been growing just like a little boy should, and that's kind of cool. As usual, he continues to grow in his growth and development, Jafon says. Again, he gains height and weight this month. Yet during this year, he has had an intermittent high fever that comes and goes, and it worries the child's health. Jafon has requested your prayers on behalf of his son. Zion is turning one. Our Heavenly Father, we come unto you once again in prayer, thanking you for the opportunity we have to just stop and consider these things in other people's lives as they serve you. They live in the world in which we live in, and yet they're not a part of it. They've decided to confess Jesus Christ, and by the things that they do and by the things that we say, that we know that their spiritual leaders are good and healthy, and they abide in your word. Father, help us to double-check ourselves as we walk. Help us to stand with courage as we live in this world. And help us not to be ashamed to stand up and to tell other people the joy and the freedom we have found in Jesus Christ. We pray for these men that are working in the Philippines as well as in India and in Tijuana area and as well as in Italy. And we pray, Father, that those people also will communicate with us as these people do in the Philippines. We pray that we will keep our hearts open to your word and to your will. And we pray, Father, that as we are affected by these words of encouragement, that it'll just change our lives, help us to adjust our way we act and the way we think and the way we talk, even if it's a little at a time, that we may be better servants of thine. We love you, and we love the kingdom in which we have to live in. And more than that, Father, we love the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we look forward to the day in which we will see you and Him, and knowing that it's only possible because He was sent here to die on our behalf. As we said this morning in class, we pray for the Spirit that He may embolden us to live in this world without shame, and that we will stand up and be courageous men and women, act in a way that will be pleasing to you and that will cause you to turn to us when our name is called out on that great day, that we may look in your eyes and see you for the first time, and we will be able to walk towards you and receive you into your arms. In thy Son's holy name we do pray. Amen. We talked about the Holy Spirit and faith in the high school class this morning, and we talked about some of these things about living in God and with courage. And Keegan, we talked about the Holy Spirit, how He lives in us, that He was one of the three that made up the God of this universe. And one of the things we said was that this God that we have here was here for eternity, without time and without limit, without bounds. And that when it comes to the truth and the love of the truth, and when you apply the Holy Spirit to that and connect that with that, it opens up a whole world of strength and power and might that you may not realize that was there before. It causes you to stand up and to be counted, be able to confess before other men, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He came to this world to save me and to give me comfort. I know He is gone, but He promised to send His Spirit to mankind to give them the gospel of salvation. And both things happen. That's what we talked about in class today. I challenge the young men in the class that they be strong and courageous. They make the determination now to live like God would like them to do. To grow to the point where they will stand up and confess the name of Jesus Christ and do what He asks. I want them to do that so they'll bless the women that are in the class and around those that are around them, so that one day when those girls grow up, they will be able to see men that are living in front of them that are doing what God wants them to do. And unashamedly, they'll know who those men are, and they'll be able to point them out in a crowd immediately. I give you this challenge tonight, that if you have not confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you know that He is, that you know that God is real, and the Holy Spirit did His part in coming to here and giving the proclamation of salvation to mankind, then why don't you be strong and courageous and make that decision to turn to Him tonight? Why are you waiting? Do it now. Change your life now. The blessings and the joy and the excitement, the thrill that you will feel by being right with God is there if you only turn to Him and accept. If you turn to do it with genuine trust and love. And so that's the invitation we give you tonight as we sing this song. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you would like to be baptized in water so that you might receive the forgiveness of sins. Let us help you and assist you as we stand and sing this song.
So little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.